I just don't get the spitting out bit.
That's a good point.
I mean, for a start, that is extremely rude.
It is.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Pay some respect to your pure authority. Don't make a flex, don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, a show where I'm joined by a famous friend as we tackle life's big unanswered questions. Today's guest is a comedian, YouTuber and ran for London Mayor. It's Max Fosh. Max, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Jackie.
Well, I'm just chuffed that you would spend some time with me this afternoon. But just in case there's someone out there who does not know you, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Max Fosh. I am what is known as a YouTuber, so I make videos that I put online, specifically YouTube. I make silly, lighthearted, hopefully escapist content. And recently, I think, I'm sure Jackie will be talking about it, but recently I stood to be London Mayor, and I had two aims by standing for London Mayor. I wanted to get more votes than fellow posh bloke Lawrence Fox, and I wanted to get more young people to vote in an election.
Okay, and just in terms of a kind of disclaimer, and please don't be offended by this question, do you have the authority to answer these questions?
I don't know. I think I should probably ask you. Are you giving? Is there some sort of amount of authority that you can give to me in order to answer the questions?
We shall see.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get started now. From your introduction, I'm a little concerned that these questions might be a little too intense.
Okay.
Let's give it a go. And if you feel any of them are at any point too much for you, then, you know, just let me know.
There's nothing that you can do to surprise me, Jackie Weaver. There's absolutely nothing at all.
I won't tell you what happened to the last person that said that. Okay. we should just dive straight in, shall we?
Just take your trunks off and in you go.
Okay, again, a worrying picture, but let's go for it. AJ on Twitter asks, if animals could talk, which would be the most boring?
That is such a good question. And I think the answer to that question is, which animal has the most boring routine? Which is the animal that has the most boring daily routine? And also, to what time of year are you asking said animal? Because a bear just coming out of hibernation season, not much has been going on in their world. So I can't imagine that they've got that much gossip and scandal to be talking about. But a boring daily routine, oh, it's got to be a goldfish. A goldfish in a fish tank in rural Hampshire, there can't be much going on there.
You are quite judgmental, aren't you? Nisha from Cardiff. Again, a really interesting question. I feel there is a sexism angle to this, but, you know, we'll go with it and see where we can go with it. Nisha asks, do you really need to wash your hands if you've only had a pee? This is taking you a long time to answer that question.
Well, no, because I initially was wondering where the sexist angle was coming from, and then I could understand. The answer is yes, you definitely do need to wash your hands after you do a pee. But I can understand that I can understand why she's asked the question, because I bet, Jackie Weaver, are you telling me that every single wee that you've done in your lifetime, you've washed your hands? Every single one.
From what age?
Good question. From the age of 18, or we'll go adult. I mean, 18 years old. Because I could, for example, I've been at, you know, festivals, and, you know, I've really needed a wee, and I haven't washed my hands afterwards, which is bad, but it has happened before.
I don't go to festivals.
Okay, I can imagine you at a wireless or Boomtown festival, Jackie, raving out.
Really?
Yeah. I'll take you. It'll be fun.
I'm not sure which of us it will be fun for, but I'm going to stay with that. Okay, now clearly, Donkey Kong 93, as he's affectionately known to his friends, feels that this is an appropriate question to ask yourself, feels that you have some experience here. Is wine tasting, as opposed to guzzling, an art form or just a bit pretentious?
It's so pretentious. It is so pretentious. And I kind of feel that way about most alcoholic tasting sessions, especially whiskey. I mean, I've heard people talk about whiskey and how they can smell notes of cranberry. And I'm like, no, you can't. That's just not a thing. I mean, Jackie, do you have a tipple of choice that you feel that you could distinguish between the different notes and variants of?
I did go to a whiskey tasting session. My husband and I went to one, and we went really open-minded, okay? So, we said, right, we're really going to focus on this tiny, tiny little glass of whiskey, and there was about five of them, and, you know, really see if we could tell the difference between the five of them. And each one was just brown fire water. I couldn't taste any difference between them at all.
Completely agree.
I can tell the difference between wines, some. Yes.
Beers as well. I can tell if a beer is quite fruity.
I don't drink beer. I mean, I don't know why people drink Chardonnay. It's like, well, if you want to drink a bottle of perfume, just buy a bottle of perfume.
Are you a Sauvignon Blanc kind of girl, Jackie? Do you love a New Zealand Sav?
Not so much so. I mean, I have very cheap tastes. I've always been quite a cheap date. Mm. I like things like Suave. Valpolicella for the red stuff.
Okay.
Back to the student days.
Yeah, of course.
Nice and cheap.
Campo Rioja. Maybe not that cheap.
White Lightning. Yes, we're definitely going downhill.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. That cheap date has just got suddenly a lot more interesting with White Lightning involved. But no, in answer to the question, I honestly do think they are quite pretentious. I don't think that you can really go there and have like a really fun time. I think you're going because you want to have this idea that you're very sophisticated and you're having lots of fun. But I personally don't see how it can be enjoyable.
I just don't get the spitting out bit.
That's a good point.
I mean, for a start, that is extremely rude.
It is. And make sure you don't bring that practice into just general drinking at the pub, because then you're definitely not going to be invited back.
Well, no, not unless it's Wetherspoons, probably.
Wetherspoons is a great place, Jackie. Absolutely wonderful, those old Wetherspoons.
I have been to a Wetherspoons once.
What did you get?
A large round.
And paid very little, probably.
Yeah. I had like a round of about 9 drinks. And I think it cost me about £6. So, you know, that I was paying for all of them. But I kind of remember that was quite a tough night. I think we might have gone overboard on that. I think we might have at least gone to 2 sweet sherries each.
Oh, steady.
I know. It was a big night. So we're not into the wine tasting. Bit pretentious.
A bit pretentious, okay. For me.
So what kind of drunk are you?
I'm a sleepy drunk. I often get kind of teased by my friends because we'll have a kind of a house party or a dinner party, and I will by 11:30 be asleep on the sofa snoozing. So I'm very much get a little bit tiddly and then asleep by midnight. That's my modus operandum.
So you're like a kind of quasi-old person then, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're starting to make me look quite exciting.
I'm 26, Jackie. I'm not too far off my bus pass.
Well, they must give them out very early in your part of the world.
Yeah. What about you, Jackie?
Me? I'm, again, like you, a very boring drunk. I talk a lot more, if you can imagine that, and then fall asleep.
Yeah, I think Jackie, I think we would probably have quite a similar just kind of night out. I mean, it sounds like you'd kind of talk at me and then we'd both fall asleep at the same time. Yeah, sounds good. Weatherspoons, don't know what's hit it.
Do you think that's why we don't have a lot of friends?
Yeah, I think this is why we're recording this on a Friday night. I don't think we could.
Now, my excuse is I'm 62. Your excuse is...
I'm 26, just the other way around. Still the same social plans, but just...
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Okay, let's go on to another question then. Oh, now, this is a question that I think is quite deep.
Okay.
Joanna, again from Twitter. If someone asks, how do I look, and they don't look nice, what do you say?
You look lovely. I think there are very few people in which you can be truthfully honest with. And the only people I think you can do this with is your family or your significant other.
Oh, so you save the pain for them?
Yes, of course. Yes, I think a friend, maybe a best friend, I think you can also stretch it to. But a friend, they're the one who chose to look like that. They've got to suffer the consequences. I'm not going to be kind of making our relationship a bit more awkward by helping you there. So yeah, I think you can tell them, but it's got to be family, significant others, or best friends.
I just think it's disappointing that you would consider the feelings of strangers ahead of feelings of family and friends.
Why not? What, so you think that... No, yeah, that's true, actually. That is true. Well, no, because I think because the British sensibility makes it come across that no matter if you are saving their feelings, you're still being a bit rude, even if they ask the question. Because we all know that question is being asked slightly as a open goal for a compliment. Like, a lot of the time, we don't actually know whether someone is asking that for you to be truthfully honest.
Yeah, so, it's like, how are you? And the answer is immediately... Fine, thank you. And the same
Jackie,
is
how
true.
Do I, how, Jackie, how do I look this evening?
Beautiful.
That's incorrect. I look like a gondola driver. That's how I look this evening, Jackie.
But to me, you look delightful.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Yeah, see, not a lie. if it is, it's a convincing lie.
It is a very convincing lie. I have to say that I see that you have decided to side with Twitter. You asked about your hair the other day, and you've gone for straight rather than curly. I voted for curly, Jackie. So it's good.
Like
to see
your that. Opinion matters to me.
I know you've got 250,000 other opinions to listen to, Jackie. So I'm just a small fish in a big pond of Jackie Weaver's world.
I have to admit, I was somewhat shocked at the response. I don't mean because of the choice, but just simply because a lot of people had an opinion.
Yeah, I bet they did.
They were very kind.
Was there some not so kind words at such an innocent question as to how should I put my hair?
No, I think the closest we got to it was something like, you know, aren't there more important things to worry about? And somebody else jumped in with, I don't think so, before I even had the opportunity to say no.
But it was on your platform. It's not like BBC News at 6, George Alagaya is saying, the news tonight, Jackie Weaver decides how to put her hair. Like, if that was the case, sure, I think that criticism would be valid. But on your Twitter page, I'm not so sure.
Well, it was quite interesting. But for me, sometimes lying is okay, but you got to do it well.
Mm. And the most practice?
Well, I think it just has to be instant. I just think you just have to practice the answer like, you look great, or yes. But sure. There can't be any hesitation.
No, okay.
You know, you've got to kind of like practice in front of a mirror, people saying to you, how are you? Fine, thank you.
Is that another lie that you say quite often?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last thing people want when they say, how are you? Well, I've not been that good this week. Oh, gosh, I've had headaches since Thursday. And the other thing, my back's been bothering me a lot. I mean, really? Did you really want to know all of that? Probably not.
That's true. That's true.
Right, what else have we got here? Clara wants to know, bless her. I think Clara must be at least 95. just judging from the question. Is it still acceptable to wink? I think the word is wink.
Yes, but only to children under the age of 13 years old. I think after 13, it's not like, it's like a conspiratorial, cheeky wink, like don't tell your parents, or I think that's quite fun. I think it's quite playful and silly. But above, like to anybody in a serious manner, to an adult, I think it is just absurd.
Do you think possibly you need a little help with your public persona here? Because you just told us that you think it's okay to wink at children under 13.
I'd also like to preface children that you know. I wouldn't,
oh, no.
I would not suggest
we know politicians like that. That no, absolutely.
But yeah, you got your nieces and nephews round. Yeah, maybe even your own kids. Like, oh, don't tell mum, don't tell grandma. I think that's a fun little way of doing it. But to
my god, it's not getting any better.
It's not, is it? I've dug a hole and I've sat in it and I'm looking up and Jackie Weaver stood down and looking at me.
I'm going to take that shovel away from you. I mean, it's as simple as that.
What, okay, Jackie, do you think it is acceptable to wink?
No.
Not at all?
Absolutely not. There should be absolutely no winking in society at all.
Okay. Wow. Even someone who's very good at it.
How do you get good at winking? I suppose by practising, but...
By practice. And there is some natural talent there. I think there definitely is some natural talent that needs to be had. But I agree. There's nothing worse than someone who can't wink, trying to wink, and they end up just blinking.
To be honest, I feel more comfortable with the idea of you blinking at the under 13-year-olds than winking at them. It's a worry.
Hopefully you can understand the context in which I've said this, because otherwise I'm going to be getting a lot of comments on my next YouTube video.
Actually, one of the things that, you know, you talk about practicing winking. One of the things that was really big in my day, and it's something that I still feel very strongly about now, and in fact, I think I have perfected raising one eyebrow like Mr. Spock.
Oh, that is good. That's very good. I can do it with both, actually. I think it is a practice thing. You need to be able to do it with both for it to
be. You have to practice it. Stop winking. Work on the eyebrows.
I'm going to be sat practicing this for a while in front of the mirror.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Right, Robert, 661. He's a bit like... He's a bit like the devil, but hasn't quite gone for it. Only 661, not 666. Yeah. I fancy my best friend's girlfriend, and I feel she likes me too. They haven't been going out too long. Do I dare make a move?
Oh, no. The thing is, Robert, she probably doesn't fancy you back. I'm so sorry to say. I feel like that's maybe potentially you kind of thinking things because you want it to be true. I just think it's just not worth it. It isn't worth it. I just don't think that it should be something that you should even entertain the idea. There are so many other opportunities for you to find love in this wonderful world, and we are so connected in so many different ways, and I just don't think that it is worth it. The potential loss of a friendship.
But.
Oh, Jackie, okay. You've stolen a few men in your time, Jackie.
But do you think you should give him the heads up that his girlfriend is potentially looking elsewhere?
No, I think that's their relationship. I think we have no idea what goes on in their relationship behind closed doors. They might have an incredibly open and honest, and they might be very frank with their conversations. We have absolutely no idea. I think that's purely just pulling the pin on a grenade and throwing it into a relationship by doing that, I feel.
Well, I'm proud of you for that answer. I think that's a really good answer.
Thank you very much.
And I just think, well, who knows what opportunities you've missed.
Yeah, in the history of love, though, this never really worked out. That,
do you think?
I think there are far more kind of dead bodies scattered along the road of that kind of endeavour than there are happy couples.
Quite. So you definitely think it's a no-no to run off with your best friend's girlfriend.
Yeah. I think if they've broken up, then that's a different conversation to be had. I think that is slightly more open to interpretation and is case by case, but I just do not think that it is. So
they broke up last week.
Give it a month.
That's very precise. Is this from personal experience?
No, but it also depends how long they've been going out for. If they went out for a month, then that's fine. But if it's kind of a 5-year relationship, I would just kind of
give it 6 weeks. Back. Yeah,
6 weeks. Yeah.
It's very interesting because I say definitely in my day, it would be definitely an absolute no-go. You know, almost forever. You know, never date your boyfriend or girlfriend's ex if you want to stay friends. And it is kind of weird, I guess.
Yeah, I think if we're being quite mathematical and objective about it, I think the break, if they've broken up, I think you can leave it 20% of the time that they were together before you can go and kind of, as they say, slide into the DMs. So if they've been going out for a year, 2 months, and let's play. But I feel that any shorter time than that, I think it's going to be too raw.
Okay, and I think that makes you a really good friend.
Thank you very much. And on the topic of relationship, a friend of mine has got a great theory when it comes to relationships and plans of dates and stuff like that. So he says that you should never plan anything further ahead than the time that you've been together. So if you've been together for 6 months, don't plan a gig more than 6 months in the future, which I think is a good way of going for the first year or so.
interesting way of looking at it. I think that's I think you should market it, frankly.
Yeah, I get the branding on that, Jackie. Me and you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it comes to relationship advice. I think that's absolutely perfect. Particularly, you know, and I, again, this is going to be a rather sexist remark, but, you know, particularly for men who do like to have kind of numbers on these things, you know, to be quite precise. Yeah, no, I think that's great. Theo. Is anybody actually called Theo? Wants to know, what would be the most useless superpower?
I think communication with anybody in the world, because I reckon 100 years ago that would have been a really, really top superpower. Everybody would have loved that, but now absolutely pointless.
Okay, you mean communication but not using any of the existing means that we've got?
Yes, exactly. So yeah.
Okay, all right. So in that case, what superpower would you like?
I'd love, I mean, it's the one that everybody says, but it is teleportation. It would be the most convenient thing. Jackie, we could be doing this conversation just live. That would be great, rather than in between, through a Zoom. So
haven't you got a car?
I do have a car, but it's going to take me 5 or 6 hours to come up to you, I would assume. Although I love spending time with you, I probably wouldn't do this if it meant a 12-hour drive there and back.
Oh. Right.
So, I think teleportation is probably for me. What about you?
Invisibility.
Really? Why? Do you want to do a bit of snooping, Jackie?
Imagine all the stuff you could find out.
Does this invisibility mean you can go through solid structures?
Yeah. And I also have to add, it doesn't involve taking your clothes off.
Okay.
Right, so your clothes can be invisible as well. Because right. I've seen that. Yeah, that's no.
Just so that you don't get caught short as you're kind of snooping into the House of Commons.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so you almost become kind of ghost-like. Like you can float in and out of rooms and buildings and be completely invisible.
Although you wouldn't really need to. I mean, you could just walk in, you know,
well,
to be honest.
Because you'd have to tail somebody behind the door through the Oval Office into President Biden's office and hopefully the door doesn't catch you. Where are you going? Where are you going with this invisibility? What do you want to find out?
Oh, I don't know. I quite fancy going to a prison, seeing what goes on in prison.
We could arrange that, Jackie. But
yeah, but I want to get out again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd quite like to go to an embalmer's.
Are they? Could you go? Could you legitimately organise a trip to an embalmer's? I assume not. It'd probably be very disrespectful upon the deceased family.
Oh, I didn't mean to practice on them.
No, not to practice on them. Just watch.
Just to look.
I know, I see, but I reckon that a few embalmers would encourage an audience to watch how they do the process.
You do?
Well, I'm sure there's some kind of embalmer out there who's quite forward thinking and wants to get their kind of stool out on social media.
So if you were an undertaker you know, I rang you up and said, you know, I have this morbid fascination with dead bodies and I'd like to see somebody poking holes in them and filling them with formaldehyde or whatever happens, can I pop round and have a look? You'd say, yes, by all means, come and have a look on Friday.
I would say, are you sure? And then if I said yes, of course, mm-hmm. I would then question the reasons for doing this. But then, yeah, sure, why not? Come on in. I mean, hundreds of years ago, they would have kind of surgeries that were live and performed to hundreds of people. So I don't see why that should change. We're in 2021.
Well, in the past, they'd do them without anaesthetic as well, but I'm pretty glad that it changed.
Getting a season ticket to the local surgeons, that'd be great.
Yeah. But of course you can actually do that now, can't you?
Can you?
Yeah. It's called TV.
Okay, just a date, Jackie. We'll go to Wetherspoons first. We'll get you a Jägermeister. We'll both get drunk, sit in the embalmers, and then we'll both fall asleep.
Do you not think that has to be the most unique date anyone could ever have been
on? You're not going
to
forget that date. There is no way.
Okay, we've nearly made it through them all. If you didn't do the tremendous job that you do now, tubing.
Yes, tubing, yes.
What would you do if you had a proper job?
I would try and be a radio presenter. That's what I would try to be. Because I absolutely, much like you, Jackie.
Is that like a YouTuber with more dials?
Yes, it's a YouTuber with a lot more buttons. Because I absolutely love the sound of my own voice, Jackie.
You have to play records in between or something, don't you? Unless you're just going to do Radio 4.
Yeah, that's the ad break. That's what kind of I have to get out the way in order to be allowed to speak more.
I mean, one of the things that kind of has surprised me over the last 3 months is that radio is no longer not a visual experience. If only they had told me that with the first interview when I hadn't bothered to do my face.
It shows you're kind of like you're human too, Jackie. You have bad days. You have bad days as well.
I definitely have bad days. That's for sure. That's all we've got. So Max, thank you so much for helping me to help the nation with these difficult questions that I think many of us struggle with. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Jackie, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm so glad you decided to choose that style of hair for today. I really appreciate it. You look gorgeous.
See, it's easy to lie.
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate you rating and leaving a nice review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Please do consider supporting this show on Patreon. Patreon is a nifty way of helping independent podcasts, like this one, keep doing what they're doing. For as little as £3 a month, you can get bonus bits, ad-free episodes, shout-outs, Zoom hangouts, and more. At least 10% of every donation goes to the anti-bullying programme to help tackle bullying. So thank you to my Julie's iPad patrons, Kate Dawes, Helen Rounce, Connor Farley and Judith Elliott. And a special thank you to Rebecca Dutneil too. If you'd like to support the show, just Google Jackie Weaver Patreon or click the link in the show notes of this episode. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
She's kicked him out.
Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow @JackieWeaverPod on Twitter. So
support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.